You know, after worshiping like we just worshiped together as family, wow, huh? Man. Last week I shared the story with you. For those of you who were here and those of you who weren't, I just kind of recap a little bit of a personal story that I shared last week about how 2 years ago I experienced a retina detachment and three subsequent surgeries, and looking back, I now see them as God-ordained disruption in my life, and it was God used that to change the perspective in my life, both physically and spiritually. But what I didn't tell you last week is, as that was happening, that ordeal with the retina detachment, along with some other life struggles that were going on in my life at the time, sent me into a very deep, fast, emotional, and spiritual tailspin. You see, when I couldn't see out of my right eye and the doctor couldn't guarantee that I would ever see out of my right eye again, I began to look inwardly, and I began to take my focus and eyes off of God, and I crawled into what I now refer to as the rabbit hole. The rabbit hole, this rabbit hole, this place of oppression and depression. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not, but it was a place where this cloud would come over me and I couldn't seem to outrun and I couldn't seem to overcome. And the rabbit hole, it just kept getting darker and I kept getting deeper and deeper. It seemed like the more that I struggled to get out of the hole, the deeper and the tighter it squeezed in on me, to the point that at one point, for the very first time in my life, never before and never since, that I actually considered ending it all through suicide. It was a dark time. It was a very emotional time. But God. God's light is true, and it was through God's Word and His Holy Spirit, through a godly wife, through some great friends, through a special counselor that I found down in Florida that ministers to pastors alone, and through my calling of a minister, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God reached down in that dark place, and He reached me, and He pulled me out of that rabbit hole and set my feet once again on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and put me smack dab in the middle of His light and begin to restore my perspective and my spiritual health. Now, here's what I've discovered in my life, and especially during that particularly difficult time in my life. All of us, if we're honest, we either have struggled, we are struggling, or we will struggle with our own dark rabbit holes. Rabbit holes of depression. And only those who've ever experienced it know what that entails and how that feels and how overcoming that is. Loneliness, fear, anxiety, the rabbit hole of stress, remorse, regret, failure, or maybe fear of failure, hopelessness, low self-worth, and the list that you name your rabbit hole goes on and on and on. You and I have all experienced those, and to be honest, we can't get out of those rabbit holes on our own. We've tried, and I don't know if it's kind of like almost being in quicksand, that the more you move, it seems the more that it has you enslaved within its grips. And some of you today may be in a rabbit hole right now, and we sang about the light of the world. We talk about letting our light shine, but light is the furthest thing that you can see right now, because you're so deep and entangled within that dark rabbit hole that you're not sure that you can get out. What I've also discovered in these last couple of years and in my own experiences, God is an expert at pulling people out of those rabbit holes and bringing them into the light. Are back into the light. Today, as we're closing out our message series called Hidden Figures, this, for you who are first-time guests, it's been a series of six women in Jesus' life. Five of those were in His genealogy, and then one other that we're going to discuss together, and how they played significant roles in the life of Jesus. And this morning I want to share with you, and I just believe it's a wonderful capstone to this series, the story of one woman who was in a deep, dark rabbit hole until she met Jesus Christ. And her story is that story that captures all that we've been talking about through Tamar and Rahab and Bathsheba and Ruth and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and now this particular woman. And though she was not part of Jesus's genealogy leading up to his birth, she was just like the five women, though, involved and played a significant role, a history-making role in our continuing genealogy. She was, in fact, the very first person to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, stating to the followers of Christ that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and her name is Mary Magdalene. Now, if you have your Bibles with you or your Bible apps, I'd invite you to open them now to the... What I'm going to just look at this morning is the scriptural bookends of her life. You can open them to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to read that, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to bring them each week. We always have the words on the screen, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles. There's just something about having the Word of God in your hands and being able to write and take notes. But if you found your place in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, I would ask you to stand and honor the reading of God's Word, and we'll read that and then the following verses in the book of Mark. Now, I want you to kind of capture the scene here. Jesus had just begun his ministry. He was a hometown guy. He was in the area of his hometown in that region, and it says, soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another. He had left Capernaum, and he was now journeying out around the Sea of Galilee region. He was proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12, that being the disciples, were with him. Now, this series has been about women, right? So it says, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. And now we're introduced to the character of our story this morning. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, not Joanna, the wife of Matt, right? Herod's steward, and Susanna. And many others were contributing to their support out of their private means. Now fast forward. Some 3 years later, Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Jesus had been crucified, he had been buried, and they were coming now to do the traditional funeral practices of putting spices and oils. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away this stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw the stone that had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting to the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. Friends, can I just tell you, let me just stop right there. This is not part of your sermon. This is free, all right? When you see the light of Jesus, there's some amazement that's going to happen, all right? And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen," or he is not here. "Behold, here's the place where they laid him. But now go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Let me say something else there. Jesus does what he promises, always. And so they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. Yeah, hello. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. Check out verse 11. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I pray you would begin to move and remove things in our lives, Lord, that will keep us from hearing what it is you want us to hear this morning. I pray that you would so fill us that we would have the strength to do whatever it is you tell us to do as a result of this morning's message. Father, we've sang songs about your light. We've sang songs about how you love us. And Father, I pray that as we listen now to how you work and move in the lives of men and women, people that you love, that then you would also help us understand that we are not just to sing and talk about Jesus, but we are to live for Jesus out those doors when we leave here today. I pray you would teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us the deep truths of the Father's heart. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Mary Magdalene, but I do need to kind of put to rest some things about who she is not. There's a lot of misconception out there about who Mary Magdalene is. The reason her name is Magdalene is because she is Mary of Magdala. And Magdala is a place where there was a synagogue in which Jesus taught and spoke, and she was from that city. They recently have uncovered that synagogue, and it is a beautiful place, and it's just an astounding place to visit when you're in the Holy Land, and you can actually stand where Jesus stood and taught. And Mary was from Magdala, but she was not the Mary that was related to Mary of Bethany, you know, Mary and Martha. This is not Mary Magdalene. She's also not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was a very common name in those days. She was neither Mary of Martha or Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it really started in about 1324. Some religious leaders were trying to establish some houses for distressed women, and so they came up with this, the House of Magdalene, and somehow or another it got convoluted in their thinking, and because she had seven demons, they naturally assumed that Mary was a prostitute. There's nowhere in the Bible that justifies that. There's no evidence of that. There's also no evidence. Some would say that this was the lady who spilt the jar of oil and washed Jesus' feet with the oil. There is no evidence. In fact, in the verses we just read in Luke, if you back up just a little bit, there was another lady and she had no name that did that. So she's not who sometimes historians make her out to be. So all we know about Mary is that she was from Magdala in the region of Galilee. And Magdala was part of that fishing center in that area where they produced a huge amount of smoked fish. And on top of that, there was a clothing and dye industry. A wool, and they would dye these wools. And it's quite possible that Mary was involved along with these other ladies in that dye industry, because the Bible tells us in the first few verses that we read that when Jesus cast out the demons, that Mary began to follow Jesus, but not just follow Jesus, she began to support Jesus out of her funds that she had, supporting out of her private means. So Mary had some kind of money. She had financial resources. She probably lived in that region, probably in a pretty comfortable house, but she had a problem. Mary was in a dark rabbit hole. Mary was possessed by demons, and not just a demon, but the Bible specifically says seven demons. Now, we all know that the number seven has significant meaning in the Bible, meaning completeness. She was completely devastated and possessed by these demons. They controlled Mary Magdalene's life. You talking about being in a dark rabbit hole and not being able to see the light, you have to know that demons never want anyone to see the true light. Mary Magdalene was in a dark, dark rabbit hole. And we see that Jesus, we don't know a whole lot, it just says that he cast those demons out of her. You know, there's something the Bible also says that really darkness can't be in the presence of light, that light breaks through the darkness. And when Jesus, the light of the world, showed up in Mary Magdalene's life, those demons were cast out, and she was now beginning to walk in the light. The reason I love the way that we're ending this series is because Mary Magdalene's life is the perfect example, the perfect outline, if you will, of what happens when a person comes out of the darkness into the light. It's the perfect salvation, the story of salvation and sanctification, the process, as we see. And the Bible tells us that when the demons came out of her, that she began to follow Jesus. Now, in that area, you had to walk everywhere. There was no public transportation. We were over in Dallas last night. I was doing a wedding over there, and I've never seen this before. It was littered with those powered scooters. Have y'all seen that? I mean, they're everywhere. I don't know what keeps people from taking them. I don't know. But everybody, I saw a guy in a coat and tie, man, zooming down the street in Dallas, right there off of Irving Street. It was incredible. They didn't have that. They had leather on their feet if they had that. And they had to walk everywhere that they went. But yet we find throughout Scripture that Mary Magdalene is following Jesus all around Galilee and all the way to Jerusalem. Now, you have to know that they would not go through Samaria. They would go the roundabout way because they had an aversion to going through Samaria and being with those people. And it took them 5 to 7 days of walking to go to Jerusalem. We see her, the demons being cast out. She starts following Jesus, and she ends up following him all the way to the cross and to the tomb. We see her at Jesus' crucifixion when others were fleeting and trying to hide behind others. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, that there she was, or Mark 15, 40, excuse me. She was also at Jesus' burial. She was mentioned by name as going to the burial site, which could have been dangerous because they were trying to identify those followers of Jesus Christ to stamp out any form of revolution for the gospel. She was the very first, as we read, that Jesus appeared to at his resurrection, Mark 16, verse 9. And then she was the very first person to tell others that Jesus is risen. This series, we've been talking about how oftentimes in society that women have been dismissed or demeaned or disregarded. And we see time and time and time again that God doesn't disregard or demean or dismiss. God lifts up all of us and puts us on a place where to show that he loves us. He never leaves us in the dark. He always wants to bring us in the light so that his glory can be seen in and through us. Here we see this in Mary's life. And what we do know of her life is a clear picture of salvation and sanctification. We see a clear picture of who she was to and who Jesus wanted her to be. This is who she was to Jesus, but we also see the process of who he wanted her to be. Can I just tell you this morning that her life, her example, Jesus sees you where you are, and he sees where he wants you to be. And he does not want to leave you in the dark rabbit holes. He wants to snatch you from out of there, bring you into the light, and start a sanctification process to the point that every chance you get, you will tell everybody that Jesus Christ is risen. That's the process of discipleship. And so here we will see this process. First is darkness. Listen, the Bible clearly says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That glory is a light word. It's a shining word. All of us fall short and we miss the light. And listen, when you're not looking in the light, you're looking into darkness. And life sometimes gets us that way, amen? Life sometimes gets us and we go head first into these situations and it's dark down that rabbit hole. It's lonely down that rabbit hole. And you just keep thinking, if I just struggle enough that somehow I will get out of that rabbit hole. But we cannot get out of it ourselves. We need a light to shine in on us. And his name is Jesus Christ. But not only do we want him to shine the light and say, yep, you're in a rabbit hole. We need Jesus to shine his light into the rabbit hole and deliver us. And listen, Jesus is still the deliverer, amen? And then you look in the Old Testament and you look at the story of the children of Israel and you can follow this same pattern. They were a people for 400 years, were living in the darkness, separated from God. And God sent his precursor to Jesus Christ. His name was Moses, who was the great deliverer. And God's light shined right out in the middle of Egypt, and he delivered those people out of darkness. God still did it in Mary Magdalene's life, and here's the good news, he'll still do it in your life. He knows exactly what's holding you in bondage. He sees it. There's nothing that escapes him, but he doesn't want you to stay there. Jesus Christ wants to be your deliverer. He wants to deliver us from those things that control us, that we can't control anymore, that we so desperately in our hearts say, God, I want to let go, but I can't seem to let go. We need him in our lives. And Mary, you know, she probably didn't expect Jesus to show up that day. You may be sitting here today and you're dealing with the dark rabbit holes of your life, and you didn't expect for Jesus to shine the light on you this morning. Can I tell you, that's not to embarrass you, that's to shed his love upon you. It is to deliver you and say, I'm here for you, let me help you, let me deliver you. And in Mary's life, we see this lady that moves from this extreme darkness. She was brought out of that by Jesus Christ. Those demons no longer had control over her. She was now being controlled by another. And we see this process that happens. She begins the process of following Jesus. Now, we have a word for that: discipleship. See, can you imagine how the ludicrousy of it all if Jesus had rescued her, cast out the demons, and she stayed right where she was at? That's not fellowship. That's not discipleship. I won't say what I really say about that. That's just not real smart. But Mary, she turns from that darkness, away from the darkness, and begins to walk with Jesus, beginning to listen to His teachings, beginning to apply His teachings to her life, is ready and wanting more and more and more. And the Bible says that she moved from darkness to deliverance to discipleship to devotion. It takes someone that is devoted to walk how she walked, to stand in the gap where she stood, to be identified with Jesus when they were looking for anyone that they could put in prison or stone or beat if they were associated with Jesus. And here we see multiple times she was right there at the crucifixion. She was right there at the burial site. But the beauty of it also is, as we see, that she moves from that darkness. She's delivered from that. She starts being a disciple. She becomes devoted. And there's something that happens in that process that Paul talked about when Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit freed that group of people and thousands got saved. Something happened that is unmistakable and undeniable, that when we have been delivered from darkness and we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are truly devoted to Him, we cannot help but share what we have seen and heard. Mary Magdalene moved from darkness to declaration. I got to tell you, if I was in a dark hole and I moved from darkness and I'm in the light, I'm telling everybody, hey, it's bright out here. This is pretty good stuff. And yet in the Christian world today, we're afraid to tell people that we're walking in the light. We're afraid of what will happen. What hopefully would happen is they would say, you know, I'm kind of tired of looking at the dark. Hey, why don't I look a little bit at that light and find out what you've been seeing? That's what evangelism is all about. And we see this over and over and over again in the Old and New Testament, this process of salvation and sanctification. Mary Magdalene's story, really it's not Mary Magdalene's story. It's really God's story through Mary Magdalene. This story that God shows us in Mary Magdalene shows us that you and I, no longer have to stay in those deep, dark rabbit holes that the enemy wants us to stay in our life. Those things that I mentioned earlier about depression or anxiety or addictions or bad relationships or loneliness or fear of failure. God wants to free you from those things. God has shown it through these really women of insignificance that became very significant because they were following Him. Just like Mary Magdalene, God offers you and I the opportunity to leave a life filled with darkness and to step into a light filled with life, the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12, He says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows Me, there's that discipleship, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I promise you, if I can go down a rabbit hole and stay there longer than I wanted to, I promise you there are people here today that are struggling in the rabbit hole today. But with God as my witness, standing on the truth of God's Word, God wants to free you and bring you into the light. How do we go from being a hidden figure to a herald of the gospel? We must walk into the light. We must walk into the light. I remember, and I've shared this story before, but it's the one that is most significant to me. How many of you have ever lived out in the country where there are no street lamps? I grew up in the country, and we were 9 or 10 miles out north of town. And I'm telling you, when it got dark at night, it got dark at night. And we lived, there were seven of us, grew up in a one, just a single wide trailer house. And we were in that trailer house, and probably down, 200 yards maybe, there was a barn down there. And we had a few horses and some chickens and some calves. And my brother and I would go down there and fight bumblebees. That was our hobby in the summer. We didn't have Game Boy. We had bumblebees that stung the snot out of us. It was glorious. I was not allergic to them, and they'd sting me, and I'd kill them. And I looked over, my brother looked like Garfield. He got stung, and his eyes swole up like that, and I laughed so hard I couldn't stand myself. But we were down there one night, and we got to playing and got to, as boys do, and shooting BB guns and slingshots, and it got dark. And I mean, it was dark. We couldn't see the house. And I remember this noise on our front porch of that trailer house. It needed a little WD-40, you know what I'm talking about? When it opened, it kind of... And I heard my mom say, "It's dinner time." And it was dark. But then she flipped on the light switch. And my brother and I tore out of there, and all we could see was that front porch light. And we're running to the light. And we finally broke through, and there was a trail through there, and we're running to the light, and finally we break into the yard area there that was kind of separated, and there we were on the front porch. We were ushered into the house, and we were set down at the table, and we had a feast that night. Friends, it's that way spiritually. Jesus, the light of the world, has turned the light on. You don't have to stay in the darkness, but you got to run to Him. You got to take the first step, and when you do, He'll usher you into His place and give you a feast that you have never experienced. And the feeling of safety, it's like, oh, man, I'm in the house. I'm no longer in the darkness. And some of our lives are just like that. You feel like you're down in the barn and you don't know which way to go. And things start making noises in the dark, amen? And I'm a grown man, and I confess that I'm still scared of the dark. That's why I need to stay close to the light. And we ought to all be scared of the dark, because that's where Satan wants to put us, in a rabbit hole. And you may not be able to be possessed, and I don't believe a believer can be possessed, but I know for a fact that you can be oppressed. And he'll try to shove you down in that rabbit hole. You just remind him where the light is. You may be lost this morning. You may be here today and have never had a personal encounter with Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if today were the day that you moved out of darkness into light? Wouldn't it be great if you don't know of Jesus, but you don't know Jesus? You know it. God knows it. And there's a vacuum in there that you know. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be great if today was the day that that light filled your life and you no longer have to walk clueless, but you can walk with the light of the Word of God and the light of His Holy Spirit leading and guiding you the rest of your life? But you got to walk into the light, Jesus Christ. You may be saved this morning. You may have been delivered from the possession of darkness, but like me, there are times in your life that darkness cloud comes, and you try to outrun it, you try to get busy to ignore it, and it keeps coming. And you know it's heavy. That's the only word I know how to describe. It's so heavy, it's oppressive. And it's that oppression of darkness. Wouldn't it be great to come out from underneath that oppression today? And in recovery, they have a saying that says that the power is in the secret. And what they're trying to say is the power is when you keep it in the dark. But when it comes out of the dark and light can shine on it, and God's Word can shine on your situation, that's when He can heal it. That's when He can restore you. That's when you feel like, the psalmist says, I feel like my feet were in miry muck, and God plucked me out and He put my feet on a firm foundation. Wouldn't that be great for you today? Aren't you tired of fighting? Aren't you tired of going deeper and deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole? You can walk into the light, but you have to take the first step. I remember, and I'm dating myself a little bit, and I'm dating my background, so I don't apologize, but some of you will recognize this. Hymn number 289 in the Baptist hymnal. And it goes something like this. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? Receive Him and all of your darkness will part. Within your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, won't you let him come in? That's the same invitation that he gave to Mary Magdalene. It's the same invitation that he's giving you today. But you got to take the first step and walk to the light. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Holy Spirit, oh, you're so welcome here. God, I know that you're moving because you don't waste time when you're in the middle of two or more gathered. You speak, you move, you encourage, you prod, you question, you solicit a response. And God, only you know the deep recesses of someone's heart this morning that's sitting here. But God, I pray today would be a day where your light shines into the deepest recesses of our hearts and expose those areas of darkness, those areas where we continue to struggle, those areas that seem to control us. And Holy Spirit, I pray not only would you identify those this morning, but now you would remove those through the power of confession and repentance. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now that you would leave nothing hidden. Everything would be exposed. Our very thought lives, our hearts, our souls. Would you just search us, oh now, God, and see if there's anything there. And then, God, would you just shine that light and restore to us, if we already know you, the joy of our salvation through confession and repentance. And God, if there's someone here this morning that has never said yes to you, never said yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that Jesus was crucified for my sins, that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, that Jesus is who he says he is, and have never said yes, I want the free gift of salvation that only he can provide. If there's someone here today who's never said yes to Jesus, I pray your light, oh Father, would shine right now, that there would be no darkness in this place, that revelation would happen in this place. If that's you this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, say, how do I do that? It's really simple. Say yes to Jesus Christ. Just admit to him, oh God, I've been in a rabbit hole. I've been doing it my way. I've been struggling for so long. Help. I admit that I've been doing it my way, the wrong way. I admit, God, the word you call it is sin. God, I just know I've missed the mark, and I'm so sorry. And today, I want your help. I want your free gift. I want you to take me out of this rabbit hole and show me and bring me into the light and put my feet on a solid rock so that I can move forward. Today, I say yes to you, Jesus. For the very first time in my life, I say yes. Come into my life. Lead my life. Simple prayer in your own words, but that's the essence. The Bible says if we'll believe in our hearts that Jesus is who he says he is, and then we'll confess with our mouths that he is Lord, that we will be saved. In just a moment, if you've never said yes to Jesus, but you want to, or you just said yes in your own prayer, I'm going to be standing down here in the middle down front. I encourage you, the minute that we begin to sing, to step out of your seat and come down and take me by the hand and say, Pastor Jay, I've said yes, I'm coming out of that rabbit hole with God's help. But I also know that there's a lot of faithful folks here who've been struggling with the rabbit hole. Some of you may have gotten to the point that I was at, and today is your day of rescue. Today is your day where God says, I love you. I have a plan for you. I'm proud of you. I have a purpose for you. I'm going to use you. Just take me by the hand and let me pull you back into the light. Some of you here this morning, you know who I'm talking to. And you in your own prayer just say, God, you've shown this to me. I haven't had to hide from it. God, I've been struggling with it. I know exactly what it is you're wanting to do in my life, and you do too, God. So today is the day I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to you. Whatever you want me to do, wherever it is you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to say, yes, Jesus, that's my answer. In just a minute when we pray, I'm going to ask you come, and we'll have our pastors all here in front will come and just take one of them by the hand and say, yes, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I love Jesus. I know Jesus, but I've been back down in the rabbit hole, and I want you to pray for me as I come out of that hole. There's just something about it. When we come out of the hole, it changes everything. Man, it's great to walk in the light and no longer have to walk in fear. Oh, let's just pray, and then and you respond as God wants you to respond. And you may just want to come and kneel at the altar and pray. You may want to go and take someone by the hand, but I beg you to do what God wants you to do so that you can be in the light once again. Father, in Jesus' name, and in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, God, I beseech you that you would move in the midst of your people. I pray, God, that you would today, like you did with Mary Magdalene, release us from those things, those strongholds that are controlling our lives. And Father, take us from darkness to declaration. Take us from darkness to becoming devoted disciples who are unafraid to declare that Jesus Christ is risen. God, our worth is not in ourselves. Our worth is in the fact that as many as believed in you, O God, you have given us the right to be called the children of God, and that makes us worth something this morning. So, Father, we repel that lie from the devil that we're worth nothing. God, this morning, I pray now that your people would respond, that people would accept Jesus, and people would follow Jesus, whatever it is.